This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Before you go, Robin, I want to talk about another case here. Brian Koberger, obviously, we've been covering it since its inception. New video just released recently of Brian Koberger shopping. This is on a shopping trip. We can pull up the video. There's no sound to it. I'll just kind of narrate as it goes on as we all take a look at this. Go ahead and hit it. This is at a Costco. This is the morning. This is just moments or hours after the murders. He's wearing that white shirt, it looks like, that he was wearing in that shot in the bathroom. And he's going into the Costco without a Costco card. And just look at his gait. Look at his attitude. He's trying to negotiate his way into the Costco without a Costco card. Thinking he's just going to go on in, dress shirt. And this would have been, was this a Saturday morning? Saturday or Sunday morning?
He feels empowered, doesn't he?
What's that?
He feels empowered.
Yes.
Yeah, and he had his coffee cup that allows him to feel like he's socially doing what he's supposed to do. So remember, he drinks coffee, I think.
It's actually a water bottle that he's holding. It appears he was on a mission for coffee. Okay. Because what we're about to find next in this video is after he's finally accepts that he's not allowed into the Costco. I don't know if he's like, you know, I can't come into the Costco. I mean, I just murdered four people. You're not going to let me into the Costco? Here he is circling a coffee stand in the white Hyundai Elantra. Eventually, I think it's closed. I'm not sure. Because eventually we're going to see him wander into a grocery store. So this is what he did. This is what he did the morning, literally just hours after the killings. He was on the phone with his mother, we know, during some of these times. He could be chatting it up with her right now as he slowly prowls next to the Mocha Joe or whatever this is.
Starbucks. They're on every corner and he's out, you know, out west. There's a ton of Starbucks out there.
There he is in the Kroger.
Yep. Feeling like the big man.
And then he circles the store a little bit, then we find him checking out here.
So I want everyone to keep watching. So, you know, the first thing I saw was that cup when he walked in. So when we're baselining the world around us, it's so easy to see people that stand out, and he just stands out because he still has no ability how to be a real boy. It's just, yeah. He's incapable. That's why he used props, like whether it's a coffee cup or anything else. Mm-hmm. He sees people drinking coffee. He thinks that's what social average people do. So he uses it like a prop. He uses everything in his life as a prop to try to be a real person. And he has no idea how to do it. Everything in life is complete mimicry to him. He has zero internal.
There he's the one at the checkout right now in the dress shirt.
But you see how he stands out?
Yeah.
Everything always stands out. His body language, his movements, his attire, what he's doing. He has no idea how to be a human. It's completely foreign to him.
Why is that? Why is he that clueless on just the basic functions?
This is 100% psychopathy, 100%. There is zero, and that's why I've been so doubled down, as many of us have, of don't overthink him. There's nothing in there. Yeah. So imagine this. He is a wolf right now trying to mingle around a herd of gazelles. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Here he comes.
And he's trying to blend in with the environment to try not to be alerting to all the prey around him. And so right now he's the lion at the watering hole where he's actually not going to kill one of the gazelles sipping, but he's there. And he still looks like a lion because that is exactly what's there. He is pure predator that has no idea how to fit in with the rest of the humanity. He's got there's nothing there. That is psychopathy. That's why this is a missing part of his empathetic brain. It's just not there.
Let's rewind it back to the beginning again, Todd.
I'm sorry, Stacey, go ahead.
Robin, how many of those people are amongst us right now? I mean, you go to the grocery store and there's that weird guy who's standing by the honeydew melons and he turns around and looks at you. Is that one of them? I mean, are they out there?
Yeah, they're out there. There's not as many that I've never seen anyone that spiked. I mean, again, I'm not a counselor, so I don't see as many as counselors would or psychologists would. But when in my time of doing it, I've never seen anyone that pure of that. But they're around us. So what she also can do is the reason allows us to say things like that about him is because we have a lot of data points on him. We've been studying him for 4 years now, or we're coming up on four. And so there's a lot of other data points that keep supporting that. So it's easier to have our confirmation bias. Like when we're watching this, I already know, all right, I'm dealing with a psychopath. Let's look for psychopathic things. Sure. And that's what I see. Now, when you look at the creepy guy at the Honeydew Melons, what we don't have is data points to say, is this someone who's just excessively lonely? Is he an energy vampire just looking to make a connection? Is he mentally disturbed? Does he have other traumas? I mean, so there's a lot of things that could be feeding into that behavior that we don't know about, but could he be high level in psychopathy? Yes, definitely could be, but we just don't know enough. But in this case, oh yeah, we know.
When you look at that, when we go back to the start of that, I mean, when we look at his gait, the way he walks in, the way that he's going to be questioned here again in a moment. And if you're not watching this, you can see it on our YouTube channel. He's questioning, he looks into the store like, you're questioning me?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was walking with intent and then he got stopped. He was just going to barrel in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what would be really interesting to see is, I would love to see video of him prior to the murders and after the murders.
Yeah.
Because compare and contrast is what we really need here to see if that's like, if we're seeing this gait, is this just his normal arrogance? Or is it because he feels empowered? I'd be very curious about that.
Well, and it's not difficult to get a Costco membership. You just go to the counter and pay.
You probably could even get like a day pass, honestly. Yeah.
But remember, he thinks he's the big man. I mean, he does it in class. He does it as a teaching assistant. And so he would actually bully people all the time from the data we're seeing from how his students were.
Yeah. Too, he hasn't been fired yet.
Right. So, I mean, here's someone who's very arrogant and self-confident. Is like, hey, I'm Brian Koper. I can do this. I'm over here. I'm a PhD student. Why don't you let me in?
Who I am?
Yeah. I'm the guy who just killed all these kids and got away with it.
I mean, just think of, I mean, you know, Stacey, you said earlier, like, you know, are these people everywhere? I mean, look at these people just going and shopping.
But you see,
it could be anybody going in shopping.
But you also see how casually he walked out, though. So it didn't bother him that he got rejected. Did he do it just for the chance to showcase himself and interact? To me, that might have just been a moment of, hey, look at me. Look how great I am. I don't really want to go in here. I just want to show you how confident I am. That could be just be it, too.
I'm going to guess he's having some.
Go ahead,
Robin.
I was saying he's not ranting or raving. In other words, we know he's got a lot of rage in him. He's not showing rage right here.
It's like he's walking in. There's like a cognitive distortion going on in his mind that it's like, look at me. He feels he's bigger than the room. And even though nobody in that room even notices he's there, in his mind, after this, he thinks it's like, look at this.
Or he might have. So here's, again, there's so many possibilities because we don't know. Or he just actually has no idea how Costco works. And it's because it's such a social place, he feels like, hey, I'm going to try this place that I've never had the courage to go out before because there's all these people here. But now I feel more comfortable around people because I'm so arrogant. I need a pass to come in here? Oh, I've never been to Costco before. Huh. Okay. Well, thank you very much for that information. I'll go join a membership. I'll come back later. Thank you.
It's like a real sick, twisted version of winning the Super Bowl. You just won the Super Bowl. Where are you going to? Disney World, Koberger. You just killed four people. What are you going to do? I'm going to Costco.
But you see how we can do all these different overlays if we don't have more data on it? But
yeah,
but
totally.
To me, since he was turned away and we know he's got rage issues, that means he doesn't know he's about to be turned away. And he had no expectation of really being able to get in. So if he had to think about this, if he had an expectation that he could actually get in, and he was denied, he'd get pretty angry.
Jennifer in the comments just had an interesting point that could he have been establishing more of his alibi?
Possibly that too. Although different times.
A little late.
A little late, but still maybe, you know, gee, I was out doing normal things. How could I have murdered anybody, you know?
Sure. Or was it to make him feel more normal after murdering people?
I think he's reveling in the fact that he feels more normal right now.
The fact that as soon as he walks away, he takes a drink out of that water bottle. Just it's like arrogance. I see arrogance with it. Like, oh, okay, I'm just going to drink.
Yep.
And I'm going to drink on the way in.
And he's the only one doing it, Todd.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's creepy. That's why I wanted to play that with you, Robin.
That's good stuff.
If you played that Rick Astley, I could make him dance around to it a little bit. But, you know, okay.
Never going to let you in.
But again, just, you know, when we're looking at that, that's what we do. Just look at what stands out. Oh, my God.
Robin's never coming back again.
I think you're right, Stacey.
Here we go. Look at him. He's dancing.
Great working with you, Robin.
Here's what's really great about it. He's spending the rest of his life.
Never been to Costco. Cold burger is getting rejected fast, and he wants to get some coffee going on.
And as Steve Conglave said, he's getting a big D right now.
Big D! Oh, there you go.
It's all his family saying yes. The Big D is coming for you, buddy.
Big D is coming.
Enjoy that Costco moment.
Cole Burger's getting the Big D in prison now. Okay.
Robin just got a glimpse into what it's like working with Tony.
You know, he's been working with me for a long time.
Tuning in every day. You know, I've given up on all my professionalism and everything else.
For ruining his reputation, Tony.
I've given up on all my dignity, Robin, so don't worry.
I'm going to start wearing my ACDC shirt on now instead of my collared shirt.
It'd be great. Why not? Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Unit. We will get you to sing some karaoke one of these days. Enjoy the rest of your camping trip, and thank you for taking some time this morning to hang out with
us. Always, guys. Love being with you all. See you soon.
See you, Robin. Thank you. Let's continue on. We're going to keep going into the Koberger conversation, because that's not the only video that was released very, very recently. We have questioning video, I should say. Police interviews is what it is, of Dylan Mortensen and Bethany Funk. We know that one of them has been released. Another one has come out, and we're going to take a look at both of them this morning. We've not actually done that on the program yet. We're not doing it to pick it apart, but to really understand the psychological weight of what these two girls lived through. There's been so many horrible people out there that have said so many horrible things about these two young women who were utterly traumatized by that night, by that monster that walked into the Costco with that level of arrogance. That I think it is in no way to exploit these girls or have to show off the pain that they're going through in any sort of way like that, but more so for understanding and see, okay, what was it like for them? What was going through their minds hours after realizing four of their friends were just murdered in the very house that they were in, that they clearly were frightened that night as well and didn't know what was going on. So we're going to go through this and we'll break it down and we'll talk about what we're seeing and there's a lot here. We'll start with this one. Which one is this, Todd? Is this Bethany or?
This is the other.
Okay, this is Dylan. Okay, so this is Dylan. And this is the new one. This is the one that had just been released. It's a lot shorter than the other video that had been released, but let's take a look. This is them being interviewed by police that day.
Something else. Is something that I said? But maybe you didn't. It was... Does your habit in the recent history have anybody that you thought might have assaulted you or that was just acting weird?
No, we were talking. Remember about a month ago, I think one of our police officers that Carol outside taking Murphy out and she saw a shadow.
Yep. Okay.
And then when Carol was at Winco, Zane was in the car. She noticed this guy was following her. She she's going, getting put in the car, and she could see in her mirror that guy was behind her in the car.
Okay.
So obviously trying to follow her. And then that was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And then about a week ago, our door is broken, but the Maddie and behind the door is wide open. And obviously, yes, the door is broken, but that could also be something else as well.
Wait, the front door?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever find the backstab or anything, or anything? The ledges you locked? What's the condition?
So we're pretty good at locking it.
Okay.
I don't think we locked it last night.
And Premier, it sounds like the car is fairly well known to the front door for my people.
I mean, only people that, like, know us. Like, random people would not know.
Oh, and, right. Yeah. Because the human right?
Yeah.
Yes. Obviously do it since someday she's gonna move in with you guys pass away. I'm sorry, I can do that. Okay. Darren, did Cheryl ever say anything or report that Martin's getting anybody else out of you guys?
No, because I mean, like, you can't, there's like no proof, you know, I can't really do anything about it. And people are just weird sometimes. We didn't, like, obviously, we were scared a little bit. We didn't think much about it after that because there's nothing like weird after that.
Did she see my, what kind of car it was that I was driving? Something like that. Why don't she at work?
She worked at home for a business, I believe. I can't remember what exactly it is.
So she was just in the, she worked for her one, for the rhythm. Yeah. Let him dial, Maddie and
Zana, what did they work? Maddie and Zana both worked at Mad Greek, and then Maddie also had a paid internship through this business as well. That was all at home.
Who would know what that business is? I'm going to do that.
You might know.
Okay.
I can't remember what it's called. There's like, because they were business majors and they're other majors, so they're able to get these jobs.
Okay. Yeah, I just need somebody to know. Can you talking about something like that?
Yeah.
And I heard that it was possibly new. So I just wanted to make sure that I got the right person out of those kind of things. Was your Murphy barking or doing anything?
Yes, he was barking a lot.
Throughout the night, or?
And I heard Kayla go upstairs, he's barking a lot, and then I could tell that he was outside. I don't know how the police found him, because he wasn't in the house.
Okay.
But he has puppy and Bronx, but he was barking a lot if there was someone there.
And that was, 1:32, or was that early?
Yeah.
And then he was barking, when you first turned him on barking after she was up there playing. Did you hear him inside, go outside, or did he start outside?
Murphy was with Kara when they were, like, dancing. They walked upstairs. He was still with her. And then when she moved out, Alex moves here, he started barking in the house. And then I believe the side door was open, and I think he went out that way, because I could tell that what sound was barking was getting, like, more distant.
Do you think that Murphy would have went after him? Wherever he was?
Maybe, but I mean, his puppy, he doesn't fully know that.
I don't know, it would just be, if anything, probably playing with him.
Yeah.
When the guy in black left, did he close the slide or did he leave it open?
I don't know. I just ran downstairs.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
I'm going to go talk to my guys who've done Woodward interviews and see if anybody's got questions.
There you go. Got to turn my mic back on. So that's the interview there. I know I got some things to say. What stood out to you?
I'm blown away at how calm she was. I mean, I can't even imagine the roller coaster of emotions, you know, that she had to have gone through, from frantic craziness to, at that point, it just seems like she's worn the hell out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It seems like she's numb.
Exactly.
It was just this numbness about her that she's, like, the trauma is definitely there and the shock is there, but it's just like, I don't know what to do with this information. I'm just giving it to you. I can't process it right now. It's how I felt through it.
Yeah. I
I think there's a lot of thinking there, a lot of just trying to figure out what the hell is the world looking like now that she's woken up and this is the reality of what's going on. The dog being there, and I mean, you're got to be double check thinking everything, especially when you are being questioned about, excuse me, your door being locked. Is it locked? Is it not locked? We're pretty good about it. As an adult, it's easy to go. I mean, I lock my shed. I always have. Yep. I'm just like that. A lot of people aren't. Most college kids are not. Of course, you would think you're a house of college girls. Why the hell are you not locking your doors? Because they're college girls and they haven't experienced, fortunately, up until this point in life, a lot of horrible threats like this or unfortunate, you know. So ignorance can be bliss.
It could just be one person too. Maybe everybody in the house is really vigilant about keeping the doors locked, but you've got the ding dong in the room next to you.
You got all these people
forgets to lock the door.
People are coming and going. You're always going to have the ding dong. Look at that age. Everybody's just not that bright when it comes to security and things of that nature.
Also, Tony, though, you said it, like,
yeah,
you don't look through life thinking something like this is going to happen in your immediate circle. Outside the immediate circle of people you live with, coworkers, you know, loved ones who live out of state, you don't think it's ever going to touch you.
No. And then until you live it, then I can guarantee these girls are locking their doors every place they go today. Yeah. That lesson should not have been learned that way, but it wasn't even a lesson in that. This guy, Koberger, would have gotten in. He would have found a way to get in. It's not hard to pry a patio door.
Tony, Jennifer said, you know, you live by your experiences.
Yep.
And, you know, you guys have kind of laughed at me about this, but this is the first time I've lived by myself in, 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm training in martial arts. You guys laughed at me, but I literally have 6 knives that are ready to go because I live in a ground floor apartment. It's kind of nerve wracking. You know, I've got a sliding glass door. I've got several windows. I work in true crime. So I'm seeing all this stuff. I have knives strategically placed that if somebody were to come in here and attack me, I know exactly where to go in each room that I could get a knife and defend myself. It's a weird feeling and it sounds paranoid, but I'd rather have that than not.
A note that we will not be having the Christmas party at Stacy's house. Too many knives.
No way.
Although if we have to cut cake, we could do it in any room.
Exactly. Then we're good.
They're very sharp knives, let me tell you. You live by your experiences. Jennifer was right. Yeah. This is what you do to protect yourself. And you know what? 30 years ago, this never would have crossed my mind. But life experience puts you exactly where you are.
Yeah.
And I've got like a bar in my sliding glass door because you can jimmy a door open.
Yeah, I have that. I've always,
You know,
and I think a lot of it comes from like your upbringing as well. I mean, I was brought up in a fairly anxious mother or with a fairly anxious mother. Todd laughs.
Is he getting in the way down there at the radio station, Todd? I can come get him if I need to.
Every day.
Mom, everything's fine, Mom.
Every day.
Is the story we're going to need to hear.
Every day for like the first 6 months I worked at the radio station at like grade my school bus would drop me off and I'd go into the studio with Todd. And then my mom's call. Is he getting in the way? Every day. Every day. Same
conversation.
Seriously,
Todd, this happened?
He's not exaggerating by much. It's
God.
It's serious. Yeah.
Yeah. Where the hell was I going with all that? I lost my train of thought. But it is.
You grew up with it.
Yeah. I grew up with that. And we always had bars in our patio doors. The doors are always locked. You check them before you go to bed. And that it's always been second nature to me. So, but that's me. That's my experience. It doesn't mean everybody had that by any means. And as you get older, you start to realize, not everybody has that experience. No, not everybody is locking their door. And that's one of the anxiousnesses or the anxieties of my mother that I'm okay with. I'm good to lock my door. I'm glad I have that anxiety. I have that in the back of my mind every night before I go to bed. Let's just go check the doors, make sure they're locked and go to bed. I'm cool with that one. I think that's a healthy anxiety for anyone to have.
What harm does that cause? I mean,
nothing. Nothing. It may feel inconvenient sometimes.
I'd rather have you be safe and have that door locked than you're kind of scatterbrained and you don't lock it and somebody decides to come and do something.
But I also can't fault a group of late teens and early 20s who maybe have never brought, who were not brought up that way, who maybe had their doors open all the time, to suddenly have a click in their mind and go, I really should put bars in all those doors and I should do this, I should do that, because it's not even there. It wasn't programmed. So you can't expect it to just magically show up if it's not there, if they've never had an experience or a reason or, you know, a motivation to do that. And it takes motivation to do that. And not motivation in like a, oh, you're unmotivated, but in a, there's something that's triggering you to do this because you are viewing a possible perceived threat. They didn't even, they weren't thinking that way. And it's not their fault. They're young kids.
No.
Yeah.
So,
and they also, somewhere in right after the murder, somebody was asked about the situation. And somebody said, I don't remember who it was, but they literally said, nothing ever happens in Moscow.
Exactly.
So that was their mindset. Nothing like this was ever going to happen there. So why worry about some dog barking?
And most people make it through life just fine and nothing happens. And they're able to live with the doors unlocked and, you know, great. That's you're lucky as shit if that's how it works, and more power to you that doesn't have to be something. And that's why so many people just don't do it, because the odds are not in your favor that something bad is going to happen. They're more in your favor that it's all going to work out okay. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, when I see the judgments out there, why didn't they do this? If it was my daughter that was there, I would be like, you guys really need to lock the door. And you know what? It wouldn't make a goddamn bit of difference, because people are coming and going from the place, and one person saying they want to do it ain't going to change it. So they got to have grace with the people, these kids, the way that some of these people have been attacking these girls. Let's take a look at the other interrogation video that's been released. This is released a few weeks ago. We haven't really gone through it much, but let's take a look at this.
First and foremost, if you can just take a deep breath, 10 minutes.
Interview, I should say, not interrogation, where somebody tells me
apart.
All
I'm going to do is try and get an idea of what you've heard, what you saw, and any timeline, any information that you can give us so that we can try and figure out what happened, okay? So just take a deep breath for me. I know this isn't going to be easy, just one thing to go from there, okay? And you learn a lesson. And it didn't hurt.
Didn't have a three.
And you live there at 1122 King Road?
Yeah.
I love the family. I love the family. And what state you're in?
We
don't
matter.
Do you have your phone number too? So what we're going to be doing is taking people's phones for a little while. I'm going to turn in. And so we do this. I don't know if you called, if you want to make any phone calls or anything like that. What we do in an investigation like this is we're trying to collect as much information as we can. Okay. Anything that might be small, you may not think is important for us to find out what happened, but is very crucial. So taking something off your phone might be extremely useful for us, even if it's something that you don't realize, okay? And we're going to get that phone back to you as fast as we can.
Okay.
Is that okay with you? Okay. So is this your phone again?
Yeah, I'm trying to tell my mom.
That's fine. Yes, but sure, I'll do. And then what I'm going to need is your passcode. And your cell port. Here, we tune it to those. We can even turn off your passcode, okay?
How do you
take a look at this? Oh. You did that? And Phil already did it this one. You can just keep me here talking to your pastor.
I just stole from my name.
Okay. What is your bank code? It's okay. And what's that?
Carrie, do you want to
speak?
Thank
you. Sorry.
Obviously, she's far more emotional than
any social media and Facebook.
It shows just how different people react to things and trauma.
Any other social media types?
Those
big ones? So put in parental back and try to do a little bit of this hard one, okay? So what did you guys do last night?
I mean,
mostly, were you, if you were by yourself and not with the group, what is
So you're with the one of them is my roommates, and one of them is her boyfriend.
Okay. So you're with Ethan
and Zana.
Zanon?
Mm-hmm.
And spell that one?
X A N Y. M A N A, sorry.
X A
N A.
Okay. So I'm just trying to. Sometimes I'll just put names too. So you were with Ethan and Zana last night.
Yeah.
Well, do you know Ethan's last name?
Cuban.
I don't know how to spell
it. Yes, sir. And Zana's last name?
Fennettle.
Do you spell it?
I think it's K-E-R N O. Maybe another guy, T fleeting or something like that.
Okay. Okay, so you're with them. What time did you guys see if the second guy helped you?
Around 8-something. 8:30.
So 8:30 p.m.?
You seem very high,
Okay. And prior to that, were you guys just in your house?
Mm-hmm.
You can see you left from your house.
Ethan was at formal to be my person. She had a date. And
okay.
We were just hanging out at her house. And then she came over. We all walked over together.
Okay, so that was you, Ethan, Zana. Was there another person out here? Or just the three of you that
walked over with us?
Okay, and now?
Logan.
Logan?
Okay.
Was it Nate D.I.?
Her real name is Madison, no, I believe.
Okay. So you guys all walked over to. You went about 8:30. Well, 3 minutes. Were you all pretty much together, or just kind of mingling throughout the house?
We were all pretty much together, and then Maddie left to go to the club with Kimberly. And then I was awake with Santa most of the night, but then one of my friends came. And I hung out with her the rest of the night.
And who was that?
Her name's. Yes.
Can you spell it for him? Okay. And. Lawson?
I don't know how to pronounce it. And no family needs to take on that.
Okay, that's fine. Do you have a phone number for her?
Yes.
Nice. It's on your phone. Okay, he's in the van. Okay, so you were with. And at that point, Ethan and Simon were just kind of hanging out, still at the house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then I went to our other friend's house.
Okay. What time was that at?
I don't know. You did 12 fish. I think my dad came home.
Yeah, it's fine. And where's that house from?
It's just like up the street. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, up the street from.
St. Makai?
Okay.
Kind of.
So you know, St. Makai, so you're walking back towards.
We're walking back from the house. Okay. This way.
So like when back to Taylor Street, you went off? So if you walked all the way from Sigma Naves.
First.
Sigma Pi, sorry.
Yeah. You know the apartments, the lights?
Yep, right on the lights.
It's like that straight, that way.
So on Taylor?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know roughly where on team? Or does she live in on the other half streets?
Yeah, it's on Taylor, but that end house lives by the end. I don't know. How do we know later?
Okay. And whose house is it, if you want to?
It's. And I don't know if they have a roommate.
Yeah. Okay. Alright, so you and you're at this house. How long are you here?
Maybe like 40 minutes. And then I left by myself.
Okay, that's a big house. So you walked home maybe around 1-ish?
Yes.
Okay. What did you see when you got home?
We're in the family house watching the Empire Time Race. And no one else was home yet.
And then the roommate or
she's around.
Sandy. Oh, okay.
Sandy. So,
that's fine. And does live with you, SU, or just visit?
Just a friend.
Okay.
And then she left.
What, do you know what time she left at?
No, I went home.
But you, you're all watching.
Can I print your face?
Okay. And anything happened during that time period?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know who else was in the house at that time?
No worry.
No one? It's just the three of you? Okay. So, what? Let's go a little bit more. What happened to you?
I'm back. You came in time for the club. Left.
Daddy and him?
Carrie.
Okay. And they got home from this club. You know that time that might have been?
I think I told one of the clubs that was talking to me at the house, like, better times.
That's okay.
I don't really remember right now. Maybe like
that's a little
something boring.
So if you got home around warm, that would have put them
in. Like 1:45.
Okay, like, right. So near Barbary? Did you have your day?
Wait.
Like near Barbary?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Barbary. Mars on the close at 2 o'clock here.
Oh, yeah. They went to Brookchug after, so.
Okay.
I don't even know.
Okay. What did you do after that, after Maddie and Kaylee got home?
We all hung out in Kaylee's room for a little. In the past, and then Maddie and I took Mercy out to see the dog. And then I said I was going to go to bed because I was tired. And she said she was
going to go. Let's go.
And then I went to my room, was going to eat,
boring to sleep.
And then she came and nodded and asked if I had Mercy, and I said no. And then I would say.
Okay. So what time did you take, you think you took Murphy out?
I'm like 3:30.
2:30 to 10?
7.
Okay. And where did you normally take Murphy to go to the bathroom?
Just the back door. In the kitchen.
So which one is 11:22? So if I'm coming up King Road off the Taylor.
It's the big white house on the end.
On the way to the very top on the right?
Oh, well, it's technically on Kingdom, but that should be cheap.
Okay. So, with the one that's tucked back, that you're going up to 500 Clean Road, those big apartments? It's kind of tucked back just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you normally go out the back deck then?
Yeah.
Okay. You kind of end on the treasure then? Okay. So, you go there. You and Maddie take the dog out.
Cuban.
And then, how long have you got to them?
I was out there for maybe like
10 seconds. Okay. Okay. So then you both come back in. So you and Maddie both come back in.
Before she did.
Okay. Did Maddie still have the dog then?
Yes, I believe
so. So you went out for a little bit, came back in. Do you know what time Maddie came back in?
Mm-hmm.
And you went straight to bed when you came back in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How long after you, when you went to bed, do you think Maddie came back
in? Actually, I came in, grabbed some chips, went to my room, and watched a show for a little, and then I left it.
What were you watching?
It's called Bing Daddy.
Okay. How long do you think you watched it?
Maybe like 30 minutes.
So one episode maybe?
Yeah. Maybe like a half.
Okay. And did Maddie come in during that show or after?
She just knocked on my door, I think during your mask. I like right for you.
We should know. Anything. Then what happened after that?
I just went to bed. And then I woke up and I was like half asleep, right? Thought I saw like a body orange or something. It could just sparkle and come to my door. And I thought I heard like something kind of fall. I thought it was a bark, but I thought people were just breaking. Like, spitting it like in the headless here or something and not something over. Because he's usually loud in the kitchen next day.
Okay. So what do you mean by you heard a firework?
It sounded like a firework in the night. There was like a spark. And he went by my, like, I'm on the bottom floor.
Okay.
So it kind of looked like it came down there, but I don't know.
And so is Murphy your dog?
Kaylee's dog.
Kaylee's dog?
Kaylee and her ex-boyfriend's dog.
Okay. So you heard Muffy bark right after you heard what you thought was a firecracker?
Yeah, something like that, right?
It didn't sound like an angry growl or anything like that, just a bark?
I don't really know. I was like half asleep.
Okay, you said a red bird. So, hear the fireworks. You kind of see a spark underneath the door. And Murphy barks. What do you hear after that?
Pretty much nothing.
Nothing. Okay. And you thought maybe something was just in the kitchen at that point?
Yeah, just like someone accidentally fell into the table or something.
Okay.
And she was like, with one thing.
Do you know about what time that might have been? Do you have any idea?
4 or something. Yeah, I tried to call all of them. I'm right 4:20-ish. Remember time? You know, one was insane and thought they just went to bed or something.
She care? And what happened after that?
Called me. She said she thinks she saw someone. And I didn't know, like, really what to think of it, because sometimes we think we hear things a lot in the house, but she's really just eating, walking around. But she came. I told her to come to my room. She's like, look at me, and you can lock the door. Just stand there, just in case there was anything near me. That's all I knew. When I fell back asleep.
You didn't hear anything else, Fuku? No one was talking.
What cares?
Did make it to your room then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What time do you think she got in your room?
Around 4:20, 4:30.
Okay, about the same time.
Yeah.
Where's her room? I'll get it to yours.
I'm the only one on the bottom floor, right by the front door.
Okay.
And then you go up the stairs. It's Anna's room, his room, the kitchen, and then upstairs is Matt and King's room.
Okay. And where's the children?
Right by the kitchen.
Right by the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And did she say anything to you when she got into the room?
She said she thought she saw me, but I didn't know what to think. I had to, like, still have a sleep, and I was like, I don't know what to. Okay. It didn't sound like I didn't hear screams or anything or anything. But I don't really know.
Okay. But notice that she didn't say anything more than she just saw someone.
You don't have to tell him 100%.
So, well, your bed then, if the board is at the right house, you have a parking lot, front door, and your bed is just to the right. And that's where you slept from by the time you finally got into your room around 4-ish or so. Actually, before that.
Really? 3-something?
Yeah. So you were in there sleeping. Okay. Dylan got to your room maybe somewhere around 4:20-ish, but Dylan was already home at that 4:08. You knew that Maddie and Karen were home. Do you know when anyone else in the house got home?
I don't know if Anna or even. Oh, I didn't hear them come or anything.
Okay. And the last time you saw Xana and Ethan was at the Sandwich House.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, did you see anything weird at the party? Okay. Well, then, since how the way they're set up, where everyone hanging out primarily up in the lane, culinary area, with most people hanging out in individual rooms and stuff like that.
It was a little bit of a mixture at first. It was, you know, like apartments, and then it was the main room.
Okay. Yeah.
And then as I was leaving, I wanted to grab a backpack from our friend's room, and sorry, then we're sitting on the couch, like, listening to music.
Okay. And that was in the main room, or that was in
the apartment?
That was in the apartment. Okay. Did you hear of anything that happened to anybody?
Okay.
Was there anyone strange or odd hanging around the party?
Okay.
Do you know of anybody in your house that has an issue with anyone?
What?
Any ex-boyfriends? You can have that.
Tell their ex-boyfriends. Really nice. Nice, talented friends.
Have you ever had any of your basically not anyone stalking you?
It's been once though. Kaylee said when everyone was like gone, you mean we were at the sorority house from being It was a kind of good she was taking Marvy out. Gee, this was a wild one. And she said she swears she saw someone staring at her while she was taking the dog out.
You've been there no longer, though?
You'd be right. A month. She could see like a man silhouette, like staring at her.
You see, it was about a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
Did Kane have any issues with anyone?
I've been.
Okay. None of them have made any comments or statements about anyone trying to come on to them or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that all the ex boyfriends of that, they're all known, they're very nice and stuff like that. Are any of them had any recent breakups?
One, but.
I said, I'd be a little bit help. Yeah. What is, can you be a little bit too much on yellow?
She led fine.
Okay.
Sour Street.
On two?
On Eklund, I think.
Two.
He and Haley share Marty.
Okay.
And they dated for 7 years.
And that's in Haley?
And then there's a barely got.
And they did it for 7 years?
Something like that. Since high school. And they like some early things.
Okay. And they shared Murphy?
Mm-hmm. Reggie.
Okay. How long did they break out?
Literally, like 3 months or something. But they're still on.
Like in 2 months. You know why they broke out?
She was kind of like Texas.
Where she came from?
Coeur d'Alene.
Okay.
Where are you?
Coeur d'Alene.
Okay. And you said that they're still on good terms and no contact
in terms?
Yeah. Has Kaylee been seeing anyone else lately?
When you had these ones, not really, I don't know.
Kaylee? Do you know when she was going to move to Tempe?
After the suits. Apparently she wasn't going to move. I don't know.
Do you know what changed your mind?
Well, I think she wanted to stay here with all of us.
Hmm. Is there anything else you think is important for me to know? And you might remember things later. That's very much very normal, okay?
Okay.
If you seem to remember anything else, please reach back out to us. And then bring me back in and we'll get that information, okay? Quick before you let you go, okay? And you don't remember Kaylee's last name?
It's all this.
It's all this?
Yeah, I keep all this.
Look at your cell phone.
I don't know
what it's called.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right, Tina. Yeah, very much thank you for sitting down with me, okay? You've been treated down to the room. Same to you, Chris, all right? You sure there's nothing else?
Anybody that is trying to point fingers at these girls after seeing that, you should be thoroughly ashamed.
Yep.
Can somebody fill me in a little bit on that? Because we had quite a few comments about some of the nasty stuff that's apparently going on with these two girls. What are people saying? Why are they saying it?
Because they're mentally ill. I don't know. I mean, there are groups of people that still are pro-burgers. There are still people out there that think he's innocent. And other than simply calling it what it is, that is, there is a personality defect, a mental illness or personality disorder, or something is wrong with anyone who's thinking that way, because there's no healthy brain that would think that. None. That's what it is. You're sick. There's something seriously wrong with you if you think that those two girls had anything to do with this murder. Now, I'm not against at the very beginning looking at all options, questioning everything, try to figure it out. Sure, of course you need to do that, but we're almost 3 years past the point of when that was done. We've established what reality is. And if you can't get along with reality because you don't like reality and you'd like to live in this little delusional world out there, you have no place in the world with the rest of us. I'm sorry. If the people that are out there that still harass these people, it's sick.
Well, and the other thing is Brian Koberger pleaded guilty. So
exactly.
He stepped up and said, I did this.
There's you, no matter what, you can't change some people's points of view or wherever cognitive distortions that they're operating under, because they think that this sounds crazy, that someone would say this, that, oh, it's, you know, you're covering. Yeah.
I'm sitting there listening to that going, I don't know how I would I don't think I could give them any information about phone numbers or I mean, sure. I would be a nervous wreck. I
would be just bleh.
Yeah. I could not answer a question in a situation like that. I'd shut down.
Yeah.
I just would.
These girls went through absolute hell, and the hell it's the same monsters that went after the people that like the Sandy Hook families and stuff like that. It's the same distorted, fucked up thinking from these people that really, you know, if they went on a cruise and the boat sunk, I would be happy. It's like, oh, the Alex Jones cruise that takes all the Sandy Hook folks that believe this shit is fake and that those are fake actors, and the boat sinks and everyone goes away. Well, you know what? That's natural selection working in one big, big boat sinking. I would praise that if that happened.
These girls didn't ask for this to happen to them.
No, you're a blight on society.
If you're in a situation, they weren't in a dark alley wearing, you know, provocative clothing. It wasn't, you know, they didn't ask. And I'm not saying that a woman wearing that, I'm being sarcastic here, but none of this was due to anything that they did other than existing. So to point blame at them in any fashion is just fucking ridiculous.
I don't get where people just can't accept facts sometimes. And that's really what it comes down to here. There's no reason to think that it wouldn't be anyone other than Brian Koberger. There's no logical reasons other than a very broken brain that's connecting dots in places where they don't go. And sometimes people's brains just don't connect those dots. And if you're one of those people hearing that and you're thinking Koberger's innocent and that these girls had something to do with it, seek help. Seek help. Because it's not going to end well for you if this is the line of thinking that you're operating under. There's something seriously wrong with you. I don't think we're going to say that. I mean, just the sheer raw emotion. I don't really have anything to add to it. I have nothing. I mean, what do you say? She's trying to get out everything that occurred, the hell that they went through that night, and try to explain the reasoning for their fear. And look, these kids grew up in a very different time than the rest of us. The ways that many other generations respond to trauma, respond to reaching out to authorities is very different than what we've had. That's the only way I can try and describe it, because at first I had difficulty wondering, why didn't they call 911? What's going on? Like, why was that? And not that they were like hiding something, but like, what is the process going on here that would not be the first choice? And once you really dig into it and understand that way of thinking, and you understand that generation, and you understand how they have been brought up and how they respond to things, it makes sense. It just does. It's a very different response that they have to things than we do. Not because they don't want to get help, but because they weren't brought up in the same way, where we have a phone on the wall, we call 911 if something happens. It's more community oriented in a lot of ways, but there's a lot of ways to look at that. And if you want to take 5 minutes of your life and dig into that, you can. But it does add up. And clearly, yeah. If you think she's a murderer, you're insane.
That was especially the last one, a lot to process.
Oh my God.
A lot to process.
Yeah. I was on the fence about, that one's been out for a little while, but, and I was on the fence about playing it, and I'm like, well, you know what? I've been seeing too many idiots out there on this. So I thought, let's talk, let's bring that one out there. So there you go. That's the latest. We got to see Koberger shopping today and
dancing to Rick Astley
Rick Astley. If you need a little pick me up, you know, just go back about an hour in the show. Your weekend's going to be magic. Magic 104.
I marked it. It was at like minute 37, I think.
Did you mark it?
Well, kind of. I wrote it down, actually.
Oh, it's around funny. There. There you go. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up today's episode of the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts. Let us know your thoughts in the comments section on all of the cases that we're covering for you right here at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. You can do that on our YouTube channel. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and you will find us right there. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. For Todd and Stacy, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.